All right, so I think we're going to end up splitting this next part into two parts. They're starting a little bit late. But last week we discussed the Girsa, because there are two versions of the text of the words right after Sein Bracha al Pnei Adama. So there are two versions. There's the version of V'Sabeinu Mituvecha, which is the version that is more common amongst Ashkenazim. The Rosh and the Magen Avraham quotes from the Rosh that's the primary version, and I think I listed last week the Maharshal, the Or Zeruah, the Eliyahu Rabbah, a lot of the Gedolei Aposkim of Ashkenaz that held of this version. So I guess we might call it in that sense the primary version, as far as we're concerned, is Sabeinu Mituvecha, that Hashem should satisfy us. We should Hashem satisfy us from your good. So that was the version we discussed last week. Right. So the reason for that is because one of the main proponents of the other version, of the other text, which is Sabeinu Mituva, is the Gra, is the Vilna Gaon, and in Eretz Yisrael, many of the minhagim of the Ashkenazim are based off of the minhag of the Gra, and the Gra in both in the Siddur and in Maisa Rav, it's brought down from the Gra that he had the Nosach, the version of Sabeinu Mituva. So last week we discussed Sabeinu Mituvecha, so this week we'll at least begin discussing Sabeinu Mituva. So I mentioned that it was the Girsa of, it was the Nosach, that was the version that the Vilna Gaon had. It was also the version in the Sidur HaArizal, in the Arizal Siddur. Now the Arizal Siddur is itself historically an interesting thing. The Arizal Siddur was not written by the Arizal. The Arizal Siddur was constructed based on different things that the Arizal said. Even that, the Arizal never actually wrote anything. The Kisvei Arizal are mostly based off of Rav Chaim Vital. But in any case, the Arizal himself never wrote a Siddur. Based off of different things he says and different things and about kavanos that you should have, and based on different ideas that he said, there has been several attempts to construct the Arizal Siddur. There was amongst Hasidim or in the Kabbalistic movement, there was particular interest to try to reconstruct the Arizal Siddur, because the Arizal said that his Nusach of Tefillah, basically in the times of the Shvatim, each Shevet had their own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Arizal says that was reflected, and each one had their own, it was, you know, their Tefillah was basically the same, but each one had their own, slight variation to their personal, their customized version of the Tefillah. And that was symbolized in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 12 gates that could enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and each gate represented one of those ways of, you know, entering into the Kodesh was, you know, one way of accessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, represented those 12 different versions of Tefillah. And the Arizal said that there was a 13th gate, which was the gate for someone who did not know what their Shevet was or did not have a Shevet, and that gate was the universal gate that anyone could use. And the Arizal says that there is a Nusach of correspondence, and that Nusach of Tefillah, that version of prayer, is the version that anyone could use. Each Shevet had their own version, which was unique to them, and one Shevet should not use another Shevet's version. But anyone could use this universal version, and the Arizal said that he had had a Masorah for, or however he said it, that he had the universal version of Tefillah. But the problem is, he never actually wrote down, word for word, what his exact version was. And so there are many attempts you know, the Chabad sitter says that it's a Nosach HaRizal. Many different Hasidim have, you know, their own sitter, which they also call the Nosach HaRizal, and you'll look between them and you'll see differences between them. But so in any case, in the sitter of the Arizal, it has the Savin. That was a historical tangent. But in the sitter of the Arizal, it says Mituva, and the Gra, possibly following the Arizal or possibly his own Hachra. But the Vilna Gaon also had this version of V'savenu Mituva. So V'savenu Mituva, the Gra says the symbol understanding what those words mean. V'savenu Mituva means from the Tov of Eretz Yisrael, of the land of right. It's Saint Bracha al Pnei Ha'adama, V'savenu Mituva, Bracha on the face of the land. And sabenu mituva, and satisfy us from its good. What's the it? The it is the land. So the first point I wanted to discuss tonight, which is what I think is just the simplest, most straightforward meaning of or idea in these words, and we'll start from the Siach Yitzchak and the Avnei Eliyahu of the Grub say this idea, and we'll just try and develop what they say. The idea, Sabinu Sebi, Ein Adam Mace, the Chatzi Ta'avasov Beyado, that a person does not die having half of his desires fulfilled, having half of his desires in his hands. Ella, but rather a person has $100, you know, updating. A person has, you know, $10,000, he wants $20,000, a person has $20,000, he wants $40,000. Person always wants more and more, and therefore a person never leaves this world having fulfilled, you know, half of what he wants. The more he has, the more he's going to want. So the Sabenu Mituvecha, right, is responding to that. Sabenu Mituvecha is satisfy us from the good that we get. So just to take this a step further, when in Parshas Vayishlach, so Yaakov sent messengers to Esav and sent him all kinds of presents and goods and all kinds of things. And then when they met, so they, you know, they made peace. And then Esav says to Yaakov, Yelecha Sher Shelcha. I don't know exactly the words, but it says, you know, keep what's, you know, take your stuff back, keep what's yours, ki yeshli rav, because I have plenty, right? I have plenty. I don't need what the stuff they're giving me. I have plenty. And Yaakov responds with, no, I want you to keep it. Please take it. And he says, sorry about that. And he says, yeshli kol. And he says, no, I have everything. I have it all. So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that, of course, Esav's statement of "I have a lot" reflects a certain greed, a certain, you know, I have a lot, you know, is I of course I want more, right? I don't have everything that I want, but you know I've got an awful lot. So there's that element of greed reflected in Esav's statement, but further than that, more than that, that it also expresses an extreme lack of emunah. Because what Esav is saying is, I have a lot, but of course I could and should have more, right? There's more for me to get. There's more out there, 90, and you know, I have a lot, but I don't have everything that I'm supposed to have. You know, there's still a lot more out there that I'm trying to get. And in the ever-continuing quest to acquire more stuff, you know, I don't have everything that I want. I don't have everything that I need. I have a lot. I've got tons of stuff. But, you know, there's always more that I'm continuing to aspire to acquire more and more. Yaakov responds, Yesh li kol. I have everything. Meaning, not just I have... It doesn't mean it's explicitly not saying I have tons of things. He's not quantifying what he has. He's qualifying what he says and what he has. And he says, I have everything, meaning I have everything that I need and everything that I am supposed to have. whatever I have is what I'm supposed to have. Yesh li kol means I've got everything that I need. Whatever Hashem wants me to have, that's what I have. Whatever Hashem has designated, has determined that it's supposed to be for me, so I have exactly that, and I don't need anything more. The reason that Yaakov is able to have this mentality of yesh li kol is because of his emunah, is because he trusts that everything that he's supposed to have is what Hashem has given to him. The mentality, Esav's mentality of yesh li rav, is what leads a person to the sad state, to the somewhat depressing state that Chazal describe of ein adam meis v'chatzi tahavaso v'yado, that the mentality of there's always more for me to get, I'm having more that I need, and I don't have everything that I need, and I don't have everything that I'm supposed to have, and I always have to be accumulating more and more and more, that mentality is what leads a person to desire more. A person only desires more because he feels that he's supposed to have more. It's similar to the Ibn Ezra, the famous question. The Torah commands a person to not be jealous of someone else. So, famous question: how you know if a person's jealous? So, you know, the Torah says put on tefillin. So, you know, whether or not I want to put on tefillin, but I can force myself to put on tefillin, right? But the Torah tells me don't be jealous. Like, what can I do? I am jealous. Like, that's I want his things. What do you want me to do about it? So how can the Torah command an emotion? Your emotions are not something that, you know, I can't just tell myself to feel a certain way and then I will feel a certain way. So the many different commentaries that offer different explanations, different answers to this problem. Some of them just say, you know, tough, you got to just make yourself, I don't know how you're going to, you know. But Ibn Ezra famously says that the way a person is meant to fulfill this mitzvah is by developing a state of mind. And he says, if a person would think about other people's property in the right frame of mind, then they wouldn't be jealous. And he gives a mashal. And the mashal that he says is that if you imagine a peasant, right, a poor peasant, farmer man, and he sees the princess, the king of the entire land, that his daughter is passing through town, he does not think to himself, you know what, I should be marrying her. He doesn't, and if he sees, you know, the prince, he's not jealous of the prince and think, you know, hey, that's not fair, that I should have married the princess. It's so beyond him. He understands that's so for him that it doesn't even enter his mind. He doesn't think, you know, hey, that should have been mine. Hey, I wish I had that. He's upset with the other person that he has it. And because a person only is jealous of someone else. A person is only coveting what someone else has if they think that really, you know, it's shaykh to them. If they think that really it should be theirs. And they think, you know, he has it. And because he has it, therefore I don't have it. And says the Ibn Ezra, if a person were to realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has determined exactly what he's supposed to have, a Kadosh Baruch Hu has made sure that you get exactly what you're supposed to have, and he gets exactly what he's supposed to have, and the degree to and the same extent to which the peasant could get to the princess, says the degree to which you would be able to get what he has, you don't not have it because he has it. You don't have it because it's not meant for you, because you can't have it. It's Hashem has determined that that's for someone else. And therefore, the whole state of mind is a state of mind which leads to not wanting what other people have. That's how a person comes to a state of not wanting other people's things. The same thing, if a person has that frame of mind about everything in life, about everything in the world, not just what other people have, but anything that he doesn't have. He thinks, you know what, a Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me what I need, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me exactly what I'm supposed to have, and that which I'm not, which I don't have, I'm not supposed to have, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what is best for me, and he's given me exactly what I need to take care of my role, of my mission in the world, in the best way possible. So, If a person would think about it that way, so a person would not be desiring to have more than what he has. A person would not be constantly thinking, how can I acquire more? How can I get more? And what more is there for me? If a person can develop that frame of mind, then a person who is yeshli kol, who recognizes I have everything that I'm supposed to have, they will be that. In other the chatzi tavas biyado, that a person, that no one dies without having fulfilled half of their desires, because they'll reach a point where they do understand that what I have is what I'm supposed to have, and I don't want anything more than that, because I understand that what I have is exactly what I need. And that's the idea. This sabenu mituva is not a tefillah. It's not a prayer that we should have plenty. It's a tefillah, it's a prayer that we should be satisfied with what we have. We don't say in the bracha, and give me more, and give me a lot. We say, v'sabeinu mituva, and satisfy us from the good. Satisfy us from what we have. Help us be satisfied, help us be content with the amount that we have. A similar idea, the pasuk in Vayikra Chavav, the pasuk says, "Va'achaltem lachmechem." Part of the brachos, "Va'achaltem lachmechem lesova." You will eat your lechem lesova. You will eat your bread to satiation. Rashi there quotes, "Ochel kima v'hu misbarich b'me'av." The person eats a little bit, and it becomes a bracha inside of him. And it's nisbarich b'me'av, that it ends up increasing and satisfying him. That the little bit that he has ends up, I don't know, actually expanding, but it ends up being more effective and satiating him more than the commensurate to the quantity that he ate. So I think is the idea being expressed is the same idea, that the bracha is the bracha that the Torah is saying, v'achaltem lachmechem lesova. The bracha is not saying, and therefore you will have a ton. The Torah does give that bracha. It says that the land will produce and all kinds of good. There will be plenty. But the further bracha, v'achaltem lachmechem lesova, is that the bracha is to have a little and to be satisfied with that. To be satisfied with that little that you have, that itself is a bracha. To have a lot, okay, that's one form of bracha. But to have a little and to be satisfied with that little, that's an entire different level of bracha. To be able to be happy with what a person has, that's a person, right, the Pirkei Avos, that's a person who truly has wealth. Ezehu ashir asameach bechelko, someone who is wealthy, is someone who is happy with what he has, because anyone else, you know what, if you always want more, then you're always lacking. As rich as you are, if you always want more, you know what you have? You have something that you don't have. But if you are sameach bechelko, but if you're happy with what you have, then you have more than someone who has quantitatively far more than you, because you don't have anything that you don't have. He's missing something, and you're not. The person who has that mentality of that they're able to be satisfied, satiated with what they have, that person has the real bracha. And that's possibly the sabenu mituva. The Gemara often makes a drasha when it says me something from something, that it's mituva from its good is from the miktsas tova. It's not all of the good, it's some of the good, that it's sabenu mituva. It's not saying give me everything, it's saying make me satisfied with that part of the tov that I get, with that chelek of the good that I get, that I should be satisfied with that. Just one more detail on this, that I had this thought, and then I later found it in the Eitz Yosef, that you could understand, you could read the bracha to be, I said a few moments ago, that the Savenu Mituva, and satisfy us from its good, what's the it? So the simple reading is the it is the land. Give a bracha on the land, and satisfy us from it, the land. Thought that I found this, suggests this, that the it of its good is the bracha. Same bracha al pnei adama, put a bracha on the land, and satisfy us from it, from the bracha. that we should be satisfied from the bracha, that's exactly the idea of that Rashi is bringing. Ochel kima v'hu misbarech b'meyav, that you eat a little bit and it's misbarech b'meyav, and there's a bracha that it increases in once the person already had that little bit that he has increases. And that's you're satisfied. You're not satisfied from eating a lot. You're satisfied from the bracha. The bracha itself is to be satisfied, not to have a lot, not to have so much that you, not to have plenty, but to have, but that the that which you have gives you sevia, that it, the that you be, that's not to be satisfied from having a lot, but to be satisfied from the bracha. That the bracha that we have, that the to have ochel kima the misparach v'meyav, that to have to just to have a little bit, to have, you know, the amount that we need, and to be satisfied with that little bit, that's the svia that we're asking for. We're not asking that we should have plenty. We're asking that the little bit that we do have, or however much it is that we do have, whatever amount we have, that we should be satiated, we should be satisfied with that amount, we should be content with what we have. And that's the bracha of real tranquility, comes from that. A person, the real menuchas and nefesh, comes from a person who's able to be happy with what they have. A person who is not able to achieve that is always going through life chasing after more and ends up never being satisfied, because if you're always the pursuit for more and more and more, then a person never able to achieve that they have what they want. Your taivas will always be racing far ahead of what you're actually able to get, to attain. A person who is the real bracha is to be happy with whatever amount it is that you have. That's the only person who achieves true happiness, because that's the only person who ever actually gets what he's trying to get. Well, next week, not this idea, but this on a different idea with Sabinu Mituva. Oh, actually, not next.